Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Is Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
It is a glorious day today. Number one, because it's just another day to talk football. It's always a glorious day on Purple Daily. But we are reuniting Thor Nystrom and Tyler Fornes together for a 7-round super mock.
I want a mock!
Gentlemen, we got Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, Tyler Fornes from the Vikings First and Skull YouTube channel, and from Purple Daily on Draft. And you guys used to team up, at NBC Sports back in the day to pump out coverage, and here you are again on the show. Welcome, boys.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Yeah, for all the people that don't like me, you can blame Thor. It's his fault I'm here.
You know what this is, boys? Simon and Garfunkel, circa 75 on SNL, after a lengthy absence, when they got on, it got slightly uncomfortable. You could tell they'd been fighting. This is what this is.
Well, the fighting's going to begin when we do our McCarthy against May debate. Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna get into it soon. By the way, did Simon and Garfunkel, were they more Drake May or J.J. McCarthy fans?
At the time, they were more Bart Starr and Len Dawson and Namath, okay. And they couldn't agree.
That's what I thought. So, all right, before we get to the festivities here, Judd, let's shout out our friend. If you're looking for a little off-season getaway before OTAs and mini camps, maybe a Fletcher Lake Lodge is a place for you and your family to get away. Huh?
That's a great suggestion. As you look at it right there, we're talking about a full-service fishing lodge located in Ontario, Canada, only accessible, as you can see right there, by flying in on a traditional Canadian bush plane. The remote setting ensures exceptional trophy fishing for guests. We're talking about trophy walleye, northern muskies, smallmouth bass. You talk about first-round draft picks. Well, these are first-round fish. Cabins accommodate groups from 2 to 12 and include daily service as well. A dock staff prepares you for your fully outfitted boat each morning. Jeannie and her staff, they're going to treat you like guests. Don't laugh. Look at this. This looks fantastic. I'm telling you, it's a first-round pick. It's a first-round trip. Fish. FletcherLake.com to learn more about and book a reservation today. That's FletcherLake.com. Smallmouth bass, northern muskies, trophy walleye. Let's fight about what fish we want. That's even more important.
If we did a fish mock draft, what would be, like, is a shark a fish?
Yeah.
What would be the number one fish?
I'm trying to think of what I want.
A whale?
Walleye?
I'm trying to think about what I want to eat.
We're talking about
let's talk about what we want to eat.
Walleye's right up there for me.
Okay.
That's good. Lobster?
I mean, lobster, to me, it's a good day two pick.
I don't know.
If you can feed me the lobster, I don't want to do the work. Yeah. That's the problem. I don't want to do the mold.
That's a project day two pick. Yeah, that's a
There's
project.
There's significantly round. Less work with lobster than there is with crab. Lobster is an easy top 10 pick. Probably top five. I'd consider it 101, but it starts with swordfish and ahi tuna.
I was going to say swordfish. I'm with Tyler on this one. Give me some swordfish.
Fletcher Lake Lodge,
salmon
boys.
Salmon's like the reliable. Salmon's like the Kirk Cousins. You know what you're going to get. You know that it's going to be serviceable. You're going to get your protein.
I think he's more the cod, like cod fillet.
Salmon is a Five Guys cheeseburger.
Well, let's think about how it's prepared, though. Come on, let's think about how it's prepared. If it's prepared correctly, like for a brunch breakfast, salmon's delicious.
Yeah, really glad we had this conversation.
I want a mock.
So, okay, let's pull this up. I can pull this up, and then you can shuffle however you want here, Dex. But we got to get rid of these banner ads. Oh, California Pizza Kitchen. So you start talking about food, and the food banner ads start popping up.
Yep.
Some vitamins there. We're going to go seven rounds. We have selected the Vikings, and this is Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator because the PFF simulator is in timeout after getting really wonky with us. And so, boys, before I even click resume draft, start draft, before the Bears even make their pick, what should we be thinking about doing sitting at 11 as the Vikings front office? Should we be calling the Commanders? Should we be calling the Patriots? Should we be going after Drake May? Should we be settling in for J.J. McCarthy? Let's start with Tyler. What would you do right now? What phone calls would you be making?
Listen, before we get into this, because this is probably going to get heated, I want to say I have a lot of respect for Thor. I think his argument in J.J. McCarthy is a very good one. I just don't think he's right. I think Drake May is the second best player in this class. I think he's the best quarterback. And when you take a look at his profile, to me, it's you got to do whatever you can to get this guy within reason. I think like somebody asked me on Twitter the other day, what's too high of a price? I said three first round picks and Justin Jefferson. Like, it's got to be so absurd that you got to actually think about it, because May has some of his some flaws, but he has the ability to create. He has the ability to attack down the field, and he did not have the supporting structure to be able to help him from his offensive scheme to the skill players around him. His offensive line was poor. When you take a look at the whole package, I think Drake May's the easy choice. And the nice part about him, he's got a master in quick game. His footwork kind of stinks unless it's quick game. And then he's precise. It's crisp. It's easy. And you can build the rest of it because he's got the arm talent to do it. And with quick game, that's an easy way to get acclimated in the NFL. And then you just continue to build and build and build on that. So for me, it's Drake May. And I don't think it's very close.
Thor, your thoughts.
We're engaging with the fifth pick would be my thought on that. Go through the Cardinals pick. I mean, we'll get into the McCarthy against May thing later, but there, I don't know how you could see that with a big enough qualitative difference where it's, we become swashbuckling. Let's toss in the first rounder next year. In addition to the two first rounders this year, that first rounder next year, I want to protect that. And I don't know, when you're looking at the two evaluations, even if you're higher on May than me, say the discrepancy between those two guys is worth surrendering your first round pick next year. I'd be okay at, you know, four or five. I assume the Cardinals won't be taking a quarterback here though. So that's what I would do.
So just for fun here. Okay. Let's just pull up the proposed trade section, and Judd, Dex, you guys jump in here too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to let's call the Commanders. Okay. Let's throw some lowball offers. Let's see what happens here. Cause like, to Thor's point, it's like there's a quarterback versus quarterback conversation, but then there's also like the value of, is it worth giving up this much extra capital to move up to this spot for this particular player? But if we called the Commanders and said, okay, what if we offer you the 11 and the 23 mm-hmm. for the number two? I mean, you got to start somewhere with these negotiations, right? I'm just going to propose this and see what happens.
All right.
Any objections? Thor, if we were able to go 11, I know Tyler says yes. If we were to go the 11 and the 23 to go up to number two, is that a yay or an A for you?
Easy, but they're not going to accept
it. They won't accept that.
Yeah. With the Rich Hill trade chart, you would need to have 42 as well, and then it's a relatively close to even swap. But even then, like I wrote a piece on the quarterback tax. Based on the data I looked at, there is technically no quarterback tax if you look at trades over the last 13 years into the top 10. But they're just, there's no way they're going to take that. It's not enough.
They did reject it, by the way. So is there anything else, like, short of, because where you guys differ, it sounds like Thor doesn't want it. Thor, you'd like to protect that first round pick next year if you can.
Yeah, I think Carolina gave us a great cautionary tale as to why you don't throw future picks away like Mardi Gras beads in these negotiations. If the Vikings, yeah, I mean, like the Vikings next year, that's the reset year. You're right. Only an injury or two away from the potential disastrous outcome, which at least in terms of next year's draft, you'd be picking high. But that's mm-hmm. the thing I want to protect against as best I can. And that's why, you know, I'm thinking more the fifth pick for the trade.
What if we tried just for fun, the 11, the 23, and a third round next year? They're probably going to laugh in our face.
They're not
right?
going to take that either.
They're not going to take it.
Okay, we'll just let's make them say no, which they did. They said no.
We gave it a shot.
Laughing. Let's make them say no.
I think okay, there's no. A better chance to do that at three, and I still think they end up saying no.
Yeah,
but I keep seeing like beat reporters and people who are football smart enough saying that 11, 23 in the third next year would be able to do it. I still don't think that would pry it away from New England, but
let's offer it. All right, here we go. The 11, the 20, we've called New England. Yeah, is Bill Belichick there? Oh, no. Do you have another contact we can talk to?
Okay. Elliot Wolf. It's his old man. Hey, this is Ron. I'm doing the job.
Oh, they just accepted
it. Oh, we got it.
They accepted it.
We're on it. We're on it.
Okay, that's a good, you're very happy right now if you're based in Newton.
Do you guys think that's at all realistic that you would get to move up to the number three without giving up next year's first round pick?
I don't
possible.
Think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
but the phrase one in the hand is better than two in the bush. If you have current assets, they're worth more than future assets. So the general idea being with the Rich Hill trade chart, first round pick next year is worth a second. First round pick in 2 years is worth a third. So having the two picks this year so they can get those assets now is inherently more valuable. And I think that's why they did it. If they don't have a plan already in place, which let's be honest, they probably have something with a team already in place to be able to move. If this happens, they did it with the Lions 2 years ago. But I don't see the Patriots doing that unless there's a little bit more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, let's click play here and see what the Bears do. So they have Caleb Williams, number one. We'll go Commanders here too. So interesting. Drake May off the board at two to the Commanders. And we're going to hide these trade offers. We do have some trade offers coming in. But this was the likely scenario being mocked for the entire college football season and into the early part of like January. And then Jaden Daniels started climbing up the board. So, okay, now that let's go to Thor here to start this conversation. Tyler's got we tried with the Commanders. Now, Tyler, you might have overruled and said, no, give up that first round pick. Thor, Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy are both on the board here at three. What do you do?
This is a tough one for the Vikings. I have Jaden Daniels ever so slightly above J.J. McCarthy in my overall rankings, but I think McCarthy is a much better fit for KOC's offense than Jaden Daniels for a couple of different reasons, but just specific to Jaden Daniels. You love the profile, except for one thing with regards to KOC's offense. He didn't throw over the middle last year. So a lot of the passes, it was either deep down the field or else the sideline stuff. And then the other thing is, while he has the good arm and while he's good in the pocket and while he's a good scrambler, very dangerous once he breaches a line of scrimmage, when he pulls the ball down, he rarely throws. So throwing on the run, it's not necessary, you know, pushing him off the spot and stuff like that, that's where he struggles a little bit more. So J.J. McCarthy, those are two of the things that he is the best at, throwing on the run and then peppering the middle of the field.
Hey, let's go to this, too. So the Cousins injury allowed us to see three backups, essentially. But it also, I think, provided some very instructive lessons about O'Connell's willingness and probably more so want to adjust things. I think we could all agree that as a player here, Jaden Daniels is probably a very good pick. But here's my question. When it comes to O'Connell, how much do we think that he would want to or have any interest in adjusting? So like if he's decided McCarthy has a skill set that I like, and technically Jaden Daniels might be the better player slightly, but he doesn't really do what I want. Guys, how much of a discussion does that become based on the fact, and I'll give you one thing I think is important. For all his success early on, Josh Dobbs, you always got the feeling that O'Connell was a little bit annoyed that he couldn't do more of what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So how much does that become part of the conversation? We're not just talking best quarterback as far as what the experts say. We're also talking about what fits Kevin O'Connell's scheme in particular.
I think that's something you're going to think pretty deeply about. You know, to my previous point about the middle of the field, as you guys know, the past couple of years, the Vikings, they're right near the top of the NFL, if not the top, in passes over the intermediate area, middle of the field. Last season, Jaden Daniels was 9-for-18 with a 2-to-1 TDINT rate between the hashes, 10 to 20 yards downfield. It's a very popular pass in the Vikings offense, and he only attempted 18 of them, completed 9. So it's something that you would have to consider. Can we extrapolate? Can we project that he is going to get good at that? You're not taking middle of the field passes in the intermediate area out of KOT's offense completely. I mean, you could modulate the thing a little bit, but that is a central tenet of his offensive philosophy. We need the defense to be concerned about these passes to help us with the spacing the rest of the field. If they don't need to be concerned about the middle of the field, that's when you get the safeties back and different stuff like that. So I think it would bear considering for sure.
Tyler, now that your guy Drake May is off the board here, we put in a phone call. He's off the board. We drew a line as a front office, so we aren't going to give up a future first round pick. How are you, just kind of off what Thor is saying, how are you handicapping Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, both sitting here for the Vikings to look at?
I think, especially when you talk about Kevin O'Connell's offense, it's a heck of a lot easier to make philosophical changes or add a lot of different things to the playbook in the offseason than it is in the midst of what they were going through. So obviously Dobbs probably wanted to do a little bit more of that, and you alluded to it, Phil. But when you are asking a guy to learn your entire offense and learn who the people are in the room, you can't also ask the rest of the unit to learn all these different new formations and new plays to be able to capitalize on the things Josh Dobbs does well. It's just not plausible during the middle of the season to do that with a brand new quarterback. And if you want to be able to incorporate a lot of that stuff and you believe that Jaden Daniels is the better quarterback, which Thor and I agree, I think Jaden Daniels is, I have him at quarterback 3.1 points on my grading system below Caleb Williams. I think he's an excellent quarterback. And my one thing, like with his throwing over the middle, how much of that is Daniels doesn't want to do it or can't do it versus what the offense called for? So being able to parse out that information is going to be key in that evaluation process to determine if you think that he's going to be able to do that at the next level, or he just is never going to do it like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson doesn't want to throw over the middle ever. And that's a big problem of why he's taken this massive run backwards and the Broncos have moved on. So you have to be able to answer that question in a vacuum without taking anything into consideration, just looking at the talent and what I believe their projection is. I would take Jaden Daniels 10 out of 10, but you have to factor all those pieces in, as we've talked about, and that's what makes it really tricky. I think if you're making this trade up, I would feel a lot more comfortable taking Jaden Daniels than I would J.J. McCarthy because of how I believe their projections will be. But with the scheme and how you are asking them to play, I completely understand wanting to go J.J. McCarthy.
Interesting. So it sounds like you guys both really like Jaden Daniels as a talent. There's some questions about, okay, how would he fit into this? So just the five of us are sitting here in the war room. We got to make a decision. Is it J.J. McCarthy or is it Jaden Daniels?
I'm going Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels is too good to pass up. I think he's too good. I know they have a den of, they liked J.J. McCarthy, but when one of these guys like Daniels falls to you here and he's still available, I think you have to take Daniels.
GMs? What say you?
As the plane comes down.
I'll be the dissenting voice and say McCarthy.
Okay.
It's a really difficult decision. And fit matters so much with these quarterbacks. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine the other day, and fit is, and like good surroundings is usually the reason why quarterbacks fail, regardless of how much talent they have. So when it comes to fit, based on everything that we know, and we haven't had a chance to have a conversation with Jaden Daniels or a lot of like the LSU people to determine how much of the questions we have about the middle of the field stuff. I think Daniels is the better player, but I think it would make the most sense for the Vikings to go with J.J. McCarthy and how they currently like to play offense.
Wow.
Well, now we got to go McCarthy. I feel like we are just now.
Here's the thing. O'Connell will change his offense. He already showed signs of it last year. And an entire offseason, he could change it to completely cater to what Jaden Daniels likes to do. But I think that the allure of McCarthy and the sky-high ceiling, despite all the real questions I have about him, which is why he has a second-round grade for me, I just think it makes too much sense.
What's your biggest question about J.J. McCarthy? What's your biggest criticism or your biggest thing that separates worth how Thor likes him versus you?
I think a lot of it has to do with small, like he's got a relatively small sample size. He's got 28 games, but the situations that he was put in that you want to be able to like translate to the next level, like, hey, leading comeback victories and some of those things, being able to put a team on your back and not have like the world's best collegiate running game that doesn't run an option. How are you going to be able to handle those things? How are you going to be able to do that at the next level? I just think the small sample size to me is a little bit concerning. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's he can't.
He's
ever
got a bigger sample size than Drake May, your boy, though.
Mm, right. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I can kind of see what you're saying. I haven't seen enough of him do some of these things to really feel comfortable that it's going to translate one-to-one, where I saw Drake May have to be the main playmaker for his team. And even though it wasn't always successful, I'm not putting all the blame on him either.
I feel like we should take McCarthy. Both of you guys have said in your own way that he's the pick, and like the three of us are flunkies getting coffee and pizza.
I'm not going to break, and I'm technically the tiebreaker, but I'm not going to go against you guys. Both had an instinct for McCarthy in this system. We're drafting J.J. McCarthy right there. Right, the Vikings have J.J. McCarthy with the third overall pick.
And you guys are fired if it's wrong.
Yeah, well, I think we're all fired.
That's when I'll be promoted.
No matter who the guy is.
Everyone's getting fired. We're going to get to the rest of the draft. We're going to let this play out. Our next pick is 108. Before we get to the rest of this super mock seven-round mock draft with Tyler Fornes and Thor Nystrom, a shout-out to our friends over at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Been around for over 100 years, helping us build our business at Score North. If you're a business owner out there, you understand the importance of protecting your reputation, the workplace, your employees, financial assets, and the team at Federated is ready to help your team by creating a custom lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you stay at the top of your game. Contact your local Federated rep. Go to federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours. Also, our friends at Zero Res are here to help you deep clean your home. It's spring cleaning season, folks. Don't do it yourself. Call Zero Res or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com. Ask for the Score North Special, which is three rooms Zero Resified, starting at just $129. And this month, you can take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North Special and spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same, Zero Res.
I want a mock!
Mock!
Okay, I'm going to pause this real quick here as we get to the end of the third round, gentlemen. So the Vikings were on the clock in 10 more picks. We got the Rams at 99 and the Commanders at 100. Round out the third round. Here's who's available. You can see it on your screen here. We'll start with Thor.
Anyone standing out? I mean, interior defensive line is still the biggest need for the Vikings. I would say left guard is wide open right now. But as we scroll through here, any names that you like?
Yeah, Fisky and Pooney definitely stand out. Fisky's going to go before this in the draft. I would assume top half of the second round, if not late first, after the show he put on in Indianapolis at the Combine. And then Dominic Pooney, if you guys are watching on YouTube, you know that he is near and dear to my heart as a Kansas Jayhawk. Played very well. He's going to be playing guard in the NFL, and I think that his game projects really well for that. But he was fabulous last year. He's a guy who could come in potentially and start immediately for a team like the Vikings.
Left or right guard?
It don't matter.
Okay. Versatility.
Good. Whatever you need him to do. What about you, Forna? Who are you seeing on this board that stands out?
There are two guys that I really like. One of them is Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver from Washington. He was viewed as the number two guy, but he got hurt this year, missed a few games. And then Jalen Polk really was able to kind of step into a larger role. And I have a first round grade on Polk. I love him. But McMillan, he's a slot receiver, but he's not really built like one. He's built like he can play on the outside. And I think he can play on the outside. Just when you have Odunze and Polk, somebody's got to play in the slot. And McMillan was able to do that. And he's great at the catch point. He's a smooth route runner. I think he's being a little undervalued because of the lack of inclusion in that offense, just because he was hurt. And I would consider taking him in round two. So getting him at this point in the draft, I think, would be a really nice steal. And then Jaden Hicks, the Washington State safety. You want a guy who's versatile, who can play a lot of different roles for you on the back end. Vikings don't need a safety. But in the NFL draft, you just take talent. He's got the size. He's got length. He's got closing speed. And he is not afraid to hit you in the mouth. I think he would be a great Flores guy to really be. If they want to continue this three safety thing, which I'm not convinced they do, I think that was a necessity last year versus a want and just being willing to adapt and adjust. But if they want to continue utilizing it, I think Hicks is a guy that you could have like be a rover or even play deep. You can ask him to do whatever, and I think he'd be successful.
All right, Judd, I'm going to put you on the spot. You get to pick one of these guys. So Fisky, yep. The defensive tackle from Florida State, who, as Thor said, may not even be there. So this might be the last time that maybe he climbs up this board. He's not even available at 108.
You got to go like 10 picks more before we get to 108.
That's true. I'm saying we could trade up, though, I guess, is my reason. I paused it so we could trade up if we wanted to.
Yep. I say we get through the third round.
Okay. We'll resume the draft. See if any of these guys, we can just, you know, why don't we just play it by slot for timing purposes? We'll see who's available at 108, and then we can. Kalen King off the board.
Okay.
Vikings on the clock. Fisky is still there, and the Kansas guard Pooney is still there, but the Washington wide receiver Jalen McMillan gone to the Patriots, which is not surprising. So, Judd, pick either Fisky. Is it Fisky at this point? He's clearly the best player on the board.
I go Fisky because you're going to need, like, you. At this point in time, you are clearly collecting DTs to give them chances, right?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We're just going to pull the trigger there. And
that's remarkable drop by the draft network.
The next pick is 129 for the Vikings. And then just for the audience, we have the 129, the 157, 167, 177, the 230, and the 232. So we have six picks remaining here. And we are now back on the clock with the 129. Bucky Irving, the running back from Oregon, is the best available player on the board right now, followed by Mason Smith, the defensive tackle from LSU. Thor, who stands out right now?
Of those guys, I like Jalen Wright. This might be a little early with where the Vikings would think that they're going to take their running back, but it's not early in terms of where Jalen Wright's going to go. He's going to go on day two. This would be a steal in terms of that. The positions I'd be thinking about right now, obviously we didn't hit interior offensive line last time, so that would be one, and then corner would be the other one. But Mason McCormick is a guy that jumps out from South Dakota State. Speaking of great combines.
Whoa, a 9.97 RAS?
Yes.
Whoa.
He tested like a freak.
And a neck roll?
Well, then it's not a question.
Yep.
If dude has a neck roll, I'm automatically
down with that.
I mean, yeah. I think we got to go. I mean, it sounds like everyone is in on Mason McCormick.
That high and a neck roll, so he's a throwback player.
He's got reach too. His wingspan's almost 82. which is, you know, above average in this guard class. And yeah, last year played really well in that South Dakota State team that went undefeated and just wrecked everyone in the FCS.
Well, welcome to the Minnesota Vikings as the starting left guard, Mason McCormick, in 2000, probably week four after Brandel struggles or something for a couple weeks. So, okay, we're back on the clock with the 157th overall pick. Oh, a little trade offer. Okay, Cleveland's trying to move up 17 slots, and they're giving us the 206 and the 233 to do it.
I would say no. There's just not enough depth on day three where you're going to be able to get the requisite value for those picks. Maybe in a previous year, I would say no.
Okay, we'll just reject it out of hand there. Tyler, who stands out on the board right now? And so we've drafted quarterback, defensive tackle, and we drafted an offensive guard. And here's the list in front of you for the YouTube audience. Go ahead, Tyler. Who stands out here?
There is not a lot that stands out, but I think the one guy that does is Mason Smith, LSU. He is a large human, but not large in like T'Vondre Sweat. He's 6'5", 306. He's got great reach, and he needs to try and figure it out a little bit. He was a guy that people thought might be a first-round pick going into the year, but he had some struggles. And you're looking at a former five-star recruit who has all the tools that you would want. You just need to teach him better technique and how to utilize them better. I think this is the kind of dart throw you'd want to make on day three, where you have that high upside, that player, really good athlete, and you can get him to a point where he can be a dominant defensive lineman. That's where I would lean. Just keep throwing assets at D-line until you fix it.
Yeah. What about you, Thor? Who are you seeing here? Are you in or out on Mason Smith?
theoretically, and I mean, we've taken him in mocks before. I just wonder, you know, with the pick delineation here, we already got the interior defensive lineman. Would they be looking at another position, you know, running in back? terms of the depth? Let's take a look at running back and then cornerback really quick, just to see, just kick the tires, see what we got.
Here's the running backs
on the board.
Hell yeah.
Who are you looking at?
Isaac Grendo, he's 6 feet, 223, ran a 4.33 40. He's a former track star.
9.98 RAS score.
He's got a difficult evaluation because I don't think he ever started a college game, and he's a six-year senior, only 273 career touches, but he played behind the likes of Jonathan Taylor, Braylon Allen, and then this past year, Jawar Jordan at Louisville, who's also in this draft class. But he has all the tools to be successful in a man-gap power scheme or even a zone scheme. You're taking the upside, even though he's a little bit of an older prospect, because he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. Some of that's due to injury, but that kind of athleticism and size is not a combination you see often.
I would wait on the running back here. I have Tyrone Tracy and Kamani Vidal both ranked ahead of Garendo. Garendo is fine. You know, you like the testing profile, but it's a straight line thing. And like Tyler was mentioning, he didn't get on the field. I shouldn't say didn't get on the field, but he wasn't the starter at each of the last two colleges that he went to. Last year, playing behind Jawar Jordan, who very well may go undrafted. I like the utility of, you know, if you could get him later on at the discount of you have that the straight line locomotive guy, and maybe we can teach him more feel and vision. Those are the two things that he badly struggles with at this point. And then, you know, it's the north-south thing. But he has some receiving skill and different stuff like that. But I would wait on this just because of we have a little bit of depth there.
We have the 167 after this and the 177. So
I would target running back with one of those positions.
Okay. And then, go ahead, Thor.
Can you pull up corner real quick?
Yes. Because that is another. They did bring in Shaq Griffin for a little bit of help here, but it is still a need long term.
So a guy on here that intrigues me, especially because of the way he tested, was Elijah Jones from Boston College. 6 foot, 284 pounds with a 9.56 RAS. And more importantly, last year on the field at Boston College, 86.5 PFF grade. It's not a bad profile for Elijah Jones.
So I'll come in here and I guess I'll be the one to make a decision. I think running back, I'm with you. I think we can probably grab even like Tyler's guy in 10 picks from now. Mm-hmm. But I would say corner or Judd. What do you think about Mason Smith is the highest rated player on the board here, but he'd be the second defensive tackle we're taking in the first four picks, but they don't it would just be throwing extra options at the problem. Or you could just solve it in free agency with, you know, your top 10 cap space next year.
But we're still also got the kid the Vikings do from last year that they took as well.
Jaqueline Roy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd be tempted to look at a corner here. And we have not taken a receiver, correct?
That is correct. We have not taken a receiver.
I'd be tempted to look at those two spots here.
I'll just pull it. Taj Washington is the top rated wide receiver here from USC. And then there's a drop off. I think McCaffrey's gone at this point.
Yep.
Oh, no. We can't keep our streak of a pick.
I know.
He's finally gone. He's finally been taken.
He rose too much. Yeah. We were stealing him every time.
Let's do this. Let's take the cornerback, Elijah Jones, and then let's see how the next couple picks, how the board falls. So we got cornerback, Elijah Jones. And then we're back on the clock here with the 167. No trades being proposed. I'll just give you the full board. This is all the different positions. And by the way, let me actually go back to running back just to see. So Garendo is still there.
They're all still there.
They're all still there.
For me, that means we wait on that one more time.
Okay.
Tyler, how's this shaking out for you?
Oh, 177. I guess you're going to have to.
We got 10 more.
We're 60 picks away from our next one.
We're 10 picks away.
177's next.
Yep, we're at the 167. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I wait on running back this time.
I'm comfortable waiting. I really like Garendo, but I think Thor's 100% right. It is more of a straight line, and when he cuts, he doesn't really have burst. It's kind of odd. When he's going in that straight line, it's kind of that Michael Bennett thing. Straight line, you're not touching him. But if he has to make a cutback, he doesn't have that same burst. I do like the idea of Theo Johnson. I think realistically, he probably goes like mid to late day two because that athletic profile is insane. And let's just be real. The Penn State passing offense was really, really poor, and they just did not utilize their lack of weapons at all. And he's got the size. He's got the profile. And tight ends take a while to develop, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to get that kind of size athletic profile into your room and see what you can do with it. But I, you know what? I think that's where I go.
You go tight end Theo Johnson.
How many tight ends did the Vikings carry on the roster last season total?
Four.
On the active? Four? Well, yep. So, tight end, I could absolutely see here. Obviously, Hawkinson injured heading into the season. And then your depth chart right now, it's Oliver, Munt, Muse. I don't think they have another tight end. So they would have the theoretical space to carry another.
Mm-hmm. They would basically have, it would be a, if they had four on the roster, and it's possible Hawkinson starts the season on injured reserve, but you would essentially have Munt, Theo Johnson, and Nick Muse competing for two spots, right? Because Oliver and
four last year, and if Hawkinson's not going to play the first two plus months, you would have that space. And I don't think they're necessarily tied to Muse. He's on a 1-year deal on that exclusive rights free agent offer. So
I mean, Theo Johnson is by 21 slots is the number one player on the board. And you guys mentioned his athleticism. He's 6'6", 259 with a 9.99 RAS score. So
stupid.
And he's sitting right there. So we're gonna draft him. You guys both like him. And that brings us to the 177, where we'll take a look at.
Now we're gonna look at running backs.
The running back class. There goes Garendo.
Two of them just went.
I'm just gonna reject this trade offer. Okay. All right. So we'll go back to the running back page here. A little bit of a run, but there's still plenty.
Yeah, for me, this one it's Tracy or Vidal. I do have Vidal ranked a little bit higher, but I love Vidal. Tracy, I think, would be really interesting for the Vikings. Tracy, a guy who I watched a lot of earlier in his career because he was a wide receiver at Iowa. They kept trying to switch him to running back, and he finally found his destiny when he transferred to Purdue. He comes in and tests 9.77 RAS at a decent size, and he has the receiving utility. Like in the Vikings situation right now, you're not looking for a guy with, you know, around this pick where it's like, oh, he's going to be a three down guy. You're looking for a guy that can come in and complement Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler and hopefully prove enough in so doing that the year after, when maybe theoretically Aaron Jones leaves, he's on a one-year contract, signs with someone else, maybe, you know, see if you can get a comp pick out of him. And then hopefully, you know, whether it's Tyrone Tracy, whether it's Kamani Vidal, have proven enough where he gets a bigger workload in that timeshare in 2025.
So Tracy and Vidal for you, but between those two, Tyler, is it Tracy here? Are we consensus?
I would lean Vidal. I'm not against Tracy. I think there is a really interesting profile, but the 1 year at running back really kind of has me proceeding with a little bit of caution. And then when you watch Vidal, he carried that Troy offense consistently. And don't let the height fool you. He is a powerhouse, and especially
five seven.
Height did scare me.
Look, he's like maybe like a, I think he's like a quarter inch shorter than Blake Corum, and Corum there's being talked about on day two. I think Vidal's a better player, and especially when you look at the pass blocking utility, he's got this. He's got the power and the technique, plus with the leverage advantage, he just bullies people, and he's fantastic at breaking tackles. I really like him. And to me, that size is moot, especially when you get into the beginning of round six. Now, you may have that conversation around two or three, but here, I love the player. Do you think that Tracy has more upside than Vidal does? And I can't say that with a definitive yes, so I would lean Vidal.
So we'll go.
Tracy's the better receiver, probably. Vidal talked to us in Mobile about how, you know, he wanted to show down there that he they do more of the receiving stuff because he didn't get used as much in that as he would have liked at Troy. But Vidal, you know, thinking about his game, he reminds me so much of Jaylen Warren coming out of Oklahoma State, just about the same size. Jaylen Warren tested worse at the combine, which is why he went undrafted. Vidal shocked people with how well he tested. He tested 88th percentile athletic composite. And you know, Tyler was mentioning it, but he handled usage over all those different years. He also pass blocks, can do a whole bunch of different things. So I think he would fit in pretty well. And just one last thing to the Jaylen Warren comp. Warren was number two in the FBS in forced missed tackles his last year at Oklahoma State. Kamani Vidal was number two in the FBS in forced missed tackles last year.
Wow. So we're gonna go Vidal here, because you guys both seem to love him. And then we'll have two more picks at 230 and 232. And while this moves along, just one more thing on Vidal. So he rushed for 1,661 yards at Troy last year in the Sun Belt at almost 6 yards a carry and 14 touchdowns. So 5'7", finding his way around for some productivity.
He's very tricky. And by the way, he did that against better schools, too. They played Kansas State one game. They were giving him all the load, and he was playing really well in that game. Kansas State tried to load the box on him a couple of times. There was one run, he just blows right through it, and now all of a sudden he was behind the entire defense. So, I mean, he has proven that he can do it. I love those little bowling ball guys. He hides behind the line of scrimmage, very good acceleration through the hole, and then he has the agility, and then he breaks tackles. He breaks the arm tackles, like we were mentioning before.
Yeah. Bowling ball guys is a great term.
Let's go, dude.
That's a great football-y term.
So my biggest concern with two picks to go, and it's probably not going to be solved with the 230 and the 232, is that we didn't go wide receiver anywhere. Now, maybe the tight end from Penn State at some point turns out to be a pass catcher, but they really, I mean, right now, Brandon Powell is the Vikings' third wide receiver. So now they're one of the most top-heavy. They have one of the best two-man pairings with Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But at the 230 here, I guess wide receiver is the only need we haven't checked.
Well, no, there is one that you've forgotten about, Phil.
No, he didn't forget.
Oh,
no,
punter. Punter.
Yeah, we're taking Torrey Taylor in two picks.
Oh, is the Iowa kid still there?
Let's take him now. Let's just take him now.
Yeah, the Patriots. We have the Patriots to snipe, right?
See you later, Ryan.
We just got the best punter in the draft, baby. Steal.
And then the Patriots grab another wide receiver. So this is our last pick, the 232. You guys can fight about who the Vikings Mr. Irrelevant is here.
You want to go show us the full receivers, that full list.
Yeah. Fight over the scraps here.
I was going to say it's going to be like.
I'd lean Jordan Whittington, especially when you're talking about round seven. You don't necessarily draft a guy that you think is going to be a starter in X amount of years. You're taking guys who are versatile and can be a great special teamer. And Jordan Whittington was a do-it-all player for the Longhorns for multiple years. He's got some running back utility as well. And I think he's the type of player that could be a special teams ace for you with the potential to maybe develop into like a power slot. I thought he displayed a lot of really good body control in that, and that Texas offense, those receivers should have had just absurd numbers, but their quarterback was Quinn Ewers and it just didn't happen. I really like Whittington a lot. I could see arguments for an Anthony Gould, but he's really small. Anaya Smith, I don't see it like a lot of other people do. Bub Means had a great process, and I haven't gotten eyes on his film yet, but that good football player. So there's definitely some decent options, but I think Whittington could be a special teams ace, and that's why I would lean him.
Thor, do you want to fight him on that?
I would probably. Can you go down just a little bit more, Phil? I just want to see if there's any guy that fell.
This is my favorite thing about what we're doing right now is we are picking 232, yeah. And we are literally looking at the 200, the top 300 players on the board. And Thor says, can you scroll down a little further?
It's my opinion that if there's a guy named Bub Means, you take Bub Means.
That's a great
name.
He's a very interesting athletic package, 6'1", 212, and a 9'7 Raz.
Talk dirty.
But it's a total, I mean, you want to throw a dart in round seven, that's Bub Means. Like, he hasn't figured it out yet, but he would be one of those guys, if one of the coaches has a conviction, he's banging the table, like, this guy's a stud athlete, like, bring him in. I can teach him this stuff. And,
Keenan McCardle.
It would be sort of that guy. I think if you were going higher floor, it would probably be Gold, but, you know, to Tyler's point, he's small. I'm not a fan of Whittington. He's, I think of him as like a homeless man's LaVisca Chenault, you know, the manufactured touch guy out of the slot who can't run routes. Pretty much.
You know what?
David White, Western Carolina kid.
He's another interesting one.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
He's a
highway speed guy.
Can we agree on that one?
Let's go. Yeah, David White. You guys good on David White?
I'm good with David White.
All right.
Okay.
Bad size.
You guys, I want you to be able to sleep, with a calm mind, quiet mind tonight.
Friendships right, David will White. End on today's show. Purple Daily. Friendships will come to an end.
So there it is, boys. We just made all of our picks for the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy, franchise quarterback of the future, and then a bunch of other positions of need. A lot of trenches early with Braden Fiske, Mason McCormick. But there it is. There's your seven-round super mock.
Mock! We just turned around the franchise again.
I say the next time that we embark on this, we try to trade up into or back into day two.
Yeah, I like
that. Okay, yeah.
Because I think they're going to try that. So,
and we will do another super mock with both of these guys as the draft gets closer in April. So we'll have time for, I mean, there might even be some more trades that happen between now and then. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll see how far the Vikings can climb. But awesome stuff. Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros and Tyler Fornes from Purple Daily on Draft and the Vikings First and Skull YouTube channel. You can check out their content. They're just machines this time of year, and they know their stuff. So, thank you, guys.
Rock chalk.
Exactly right, baby.
I think they're gonna lose in the first round, but that's fine. We'll see what happens.
Sanford's not a bad team.
They are not. They have like 30 wins in the regular season.
Look
something
at
like that.
They talk basketball too. This is great. All right.
So, hey, we'll say goodbye. We'll do a random Viking of the Week here, so we'll keep it here, but we'll say goodbye to Tyler and Thor and shout out to the brand new merchandise shop at scorenorth.com/shop, gentlemen, where we have a brand new Before I Die design. We've got Reckless Speculation hooded sweatshirts and tees. It's scorenorth.com/shop to check out all of the Score North and Purple Daily merchandise, including the brand new Before I Die design. So, wow. Real quick, before we cram in a random Viking to end the show here. Dude, that was a football sandwich and a half right there.
I need a cigarette after that. Like we were literally to the seventh round picks and like vetting them
scroll
and going
down
through
the
scroll down. You know, Thor, you can always, Thor always says, scroll down.
Just scroll down a little bit.
Who's
the 500?
No, I don't want to scroll down anymore. No, you got to scroll down just a little bit more. All right.
Okay, it's time for a random Viking of the Week here, gentlemen. The weekly battle of historical wits where two members of the show compete against each other. It's losers out, and I was the loser last week with Judd correctly guessing Alexander Madison. Before that, it was David Blau. That ended in a no contest. Napoleon Harris, Darren Sharper, Roger Craig, and Donovan McNabb. In the new era where all three of us compete against each other equally, Judd has 16 wins. I have 12. Declan has 8. All time, Judd has 67 wins. Declan, 34. And I have 19. And I've got some clues for you guys.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Clue number one. This random Viking of the week has 83,000 Instagram followers. Pretty good following.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know it's not Hank Baskin. All right.
This random Viking of the week also has a YouTube channel that has 5,000 subscribers.
Advantage Declan so far, I feel like.
Produces some YouTube content.
5,000 followers on, and it's his YouTube channel.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's not like something he's on.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a theme to it, but it is his YouTube channel with sort of a main theme to the YouTube channel.
Okay.
This random Viking of the week also currently does some TV work. I may expand on that later, but he does some TV work.
Okay.
All right. Have we done? Hold on a second here.
You can control. You can control left the list.
I'm going to do that.
I had a guess, but the TV work.
I'm going to get the list going.
You guys are hot on the trail right now.
I'm not certain on the TV work part.
I'll let you go ahead.
Yep, I'm just looking at this up real quick here. Where's
our list? Plenty of time. They're about 7 minutes left.
We have a lot of time. Okay, I'm going to take a guess because I don't see him. Robert Smith.
Robert Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Incorrect.
Because he does do some TV work, and I don't think we've done him, which. Surprised me, but I didn't find him. Okay.
So Judd has one incorrect.
I have a strike.
This random Viking of the week won a national championship in college. This random Viking of the week scored one NFL touchdown in his career.
Oh, God. I guess.
Should have let that come.
Okay. One touchdown.
Scored. So he, okay. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. He like had the ball and like,
right. No,
was
right,
in the
no,
end zone
right,
with the ball.
Right. But that leaves a lot of interpretation to go.
Yeah. This is a great stat. This random Viking of the week holds his school's record in college with 6 career blocked kicks.
Oh.
Oh.
Six career block kicks.
Yeah. This random Viking of the week played in 7 career playoff games.
Okay, that guy does not do TV.
And 173 career regular season games.
Ah. Oh. Mercy.
Is his TV work national? Like, would we be watching him?
Everything is, I would say this, you are unlikely to be watching him, but his TV work is not just regional necessarily, but it's not TV work that would be front and center on Judd's living room television. I don't think. That's the best way I can answer that question. I might color it in more later.
That's very fair. Very fair.
172. In fact, I'll get more specific here, okay?
All right, okay.
This random Viking was the last Vikings player to sack Brett Favre when Brett Favre was a Packer. Corey Wooten.
Oh, no.
It's a great random Viking, though. Corey Wooten.
Yep.
Down to your last strike.
So he was, just to make that one clear, he was the last Vikings player to sack Packers Brett Favre. Or to sack any version of Brett Favre. Because they didn't play Brett Favre when he was a Jet. So he was the last Vikings player to sack Brett Favre.
Oh, man. I don't know if this guy...
Hold on. Let me see if we've done this guy. I really wish I hadn't yelled Corey Wooten out because I've got another guess now.
This random Viking of the week, I think, might... actually be a great interviewer long term because he loves to ask a lot of questions. You guys are just staring.
Okay. We've done the guy. Just my third guess we've done. So we obviously.
Guy's got a lot of questions.
This guy's got a lot of questions.
Yep. Very curious fella. He's a curious fella. This guy. I'll give you the network that he does TV for.
Okay.
It's the Longhorn Network.
Brian Robson.
This is Judd's final guess.
There you go.
It is right. Brian Robinson. 96 questions with B-Rob.
96 questions.
Yep. He's a professional, or I don't know if professionals are ever, but he does like fishing tournaments, bass fishing tournaments.
No, he does. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So his YouTube channel is all about like fishing and boats and stuff.
That was very well done. Very well done. You very, very much led us down the path.
Only 17 Vikings players ever have played more games in purple than Brian Robinson.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
And we haven't done him yet. That's interesting.
B-Rob. Yeah.
Corey Wooten.
Add him to the
keep
list.
Keep him in mind next Corey time Wooten. We're doing, next time I'm giving the clues, keep Corey Wooten in mind. He damn near killed Brett Favre as a Bear. That's what I was thinking of.
Yep. Yep. Brett Favre just passed out, knocked out, frozen cold to the TCF Bank Stadium turf, right? That's what you're thinking about?
Yep. After poor Chris Clue, he said, we can't play this game. This turf's going to kill someone. Little did he know it was
almost,
damn near Brett
killed somebody.
Favre.
Yep. Yep. So, all right, that's a wrap on this super mock episode of Purple Daily here. Happy Thor's Day, everybody. We'll be back with a Feedback Friday. Tomorrow, you've got Purple Access, so we've got a lot more to get to before the end of the week here. And, yeah, don't forget to go to our new merchandise shop, scorenorth.com/shop, for your Purple Daily swag. See you guys.